Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. Talking sports with the 12th man. We are officially kicking off another great edition, another, I'm going to say, sophisticated Talking Sports with the 12th man. I want to welcome you guys again as we wrap up the month of March. March Madness is wrapping up, and we're obviously excited to have you here again. Shout out to my man, Duke. I'm actually hanging out in his apartment here in Charlotte, so, you know, I like to keep you guys guessing. So, you know, always ripping and running, too. So, got a lot of things to discuss. Again, I want to thank you.
Who would have an AZ in North Carolina?
Sorry?
His name will be Duke and living in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Can't even make that up for real, right? Fact is, we're not going to talk about something fan he is right now, too. But, again, we're going to get into this. If you guys didn't know, it was finally great to see JQ and Rob. Hope you guys had a great time. Thank you for hanging out, man. Just a great time to catch up, and we got to do more of those things. And, yeah.
Definitely had a great time.
New gifts. Okay, cool. Curtis and Gary, hope we get you guys in as well. So, you know, again, just overdue. I haven't seen Rob in almost like 15 years, man, so it's great to see him. And obviously, JQ's been a couple of months or since I've seen you, too. So just kind of like, again, recapping and just great food, great fellowship, too. So, fellas, man, how are you feeling this evening?
I've been thinking about the Rockefeller oysters, too, since then.
Those oysters were fantastic.
Yeah, I thought they
were fantastic, man. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I found some a New Orleans-style restaurant here in Atlanta that we ate at when we got up on Saturday. So, got to get his oysters on, some gumbo, you know what I mean, a little shrimp and grits. It's awesome.
Yeah. Catfish concentrating was pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to believe I was going four straight days without eating asparagus, but that trend will come to an end probably tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
And he, of course, had asparagus with his cafe.
Is that right?
No, I had spinach, remember?
Oh, that's right. You had spinach. She talked him out of it. The waitress talked him out of the asparagus. That's right.
Yeah, he was talking me out of it. She said it tastes better with the spinach. So I went ahead and took her recommendation over the spinach.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, you cannot make this up. JQ, what's going on, man?
Oh, I can't call it, man. Just, you know, I ain't watching no basketball today because both those games. So y'all let me know what happens. Well, I know exactly. I can care less about Michigan and UCLA. I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't want to watch it.
Hey, UCLA's up by 4.5.
Yeah. Who'd have thought that?
Yeah.
Well, I actually think they're a very underrated team.
Yeah, let's get one. And
there it is.
UCLA, the one.
Nice. UCLA, I think they're like, we're going to talk about it. Hey, Rob, how you feeling this evening, sir? You doing good?
Hey, feeling good, man. I know we were talking about food a little while ago, man. Went out and had a nice meal early this evening, some seafood paella. Oh, man. I tell you what, you know, I'm not quite in Spain, but, you know, they got some good seafood paella here in Tampa, man. Had some conch fritters and some Bahamian
this
seafood
guy.
Chowder, too. Yeah. I got to get back to the diet and the asparagus tomorrow, people.
Oh, my God.
That's the kind of loop I got at the conch fritters.
Sorry.
Right.
Right,
my life.
So,
oh, man, yeah.
happy? Are the earphones are working for you, JQ?
Good stuff, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Listen, we didn't tell you. So Rob and me and Rob was waiting on Dre and was like, man, put him on time, Dre. I told him the thing was at 1 o'clock. He showed up at 1:35, and me and Rob couldn't talk trash to him. So he showed up with two bags with us with all kind of gifts in it. We were like, well, it's gonna be late. Come bearing gifts, I guess.
We were just grilling him, man. Then he show up and bring us a gift.
I'm like, well, thank you, Dre. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I try to go.
I told him we can't talk about it for at least a week.
Oh man,
probably a couple.
I was coming in from a different direction, so that was a mistake on my part. So, but it's all good. We got there, so I got there safe. Nothing matters. West Coasters, man, how you guys feeling, Curtis Gary?
Curtis, how you doing? Man, every day above ground is a good day. And I mean that whole It was a good day. Gary got me out of the house. And sometimes I'm in the house for 3 weeks, 4 weeks at a time. So every time, and the sun came out in Portland. It looked like it wasn't going. But it did when we were out there, and that was cool. Had a good day today. A lot of fun. Spent some time with Kurt. Have a nice meal. Fantastic. Curtis gets this salmon teaser salad. It's got pasta and stuff in it, and it's fantastic.
We should have seen a picture of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had this typical, you know, some Swedish meatballs and a shrimp Caesar salad, but a lot of good food.
Yeah,
great time. So.
My favorite place.
Yeah. No
hole
in the wall.
The damn Rob effect, man. Every time we got to sit here and do a replay as far as our meals, man. So, you know, I don't know. It's all good, man. So, again, fellas, we hope that you're enjoying this America. We're ready to get this party started. The number to call on the show. Thanks, Lou, for joining in as well. Same number. It's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, which is our Twitter handle, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then, again, check out the new Proof Facebook page. We put some new pictures of us, of the fellas. It's been long overdue with Rob, me, and JQ, and then hopefully we'll get Curtis and Gary in there. So don't forget to go to 12th Man Sports. We're talking sports with 12th Man. Rob has been steadily posting more mock drafts and all that good jazz. We got a lot of stuff to get into. March Madness is upon us. So, gentlemen, let's kind of jump right into it here.
Yes.
And let's talk about some Elite Eight updates, if you will. So, Rob, I'm going to kick it over to you, and let's get these updates in. You know, JQ, I thought you'd be happy with UCLA, but that was clearly smashed as far as, you know, I thought you were going to be happy with Mick, you know, Cronin here, the ex-Cincinnati coach, but clearly not happy about that. But, and we know your hatred for Michigan rings true, too. So, again, Rob, I'll let you get started with a couple updates as far as that. We'll kick it to JQ and go back around the room. We've got Nas who just joined in as well. So it's a full party as always. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, we'll start off with the game that's taking place right now. You know, got it on the tube here. UCLA is up by 6 points here. It started the early part of the second half, 31-25. Obviously, well, actually up by 8 points now, 33-25. So UCLA, I tell you, a team that had to play in the first four has got an opportunity to become just the second team to make it to the final four but having to play in the first four. So this is a team that lost the last four games of the regular season. A lot of people didn't think they deserved to be in the NCAA tournament. It's a team that has some talent on it. And if Deshaun Nix was on this team, who decided at the last minute to go play in the G League as opposed to come to UCLA, this team could be really good. And so, I mean, very surprising. You know, didn't think they could compete with Michigan's physicality down low, but they're doing just that. Riley has been a beast here in the tournament in the paint for UCLA. And obviously this game is far from over, but obviously, you know, the strong tournament that the Pac-12 is having, they might be the only one that might actually make the Final Four. But, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of basketball to be played. Michigan did come back to beat LSU in the second round. LSU had a decent lead on them as well. The earlier game tonight, Gonzaga was just way too much for USC. And this was a game I thought USC would be able to compete. And I'm starting to wonder why in the world I didn't pick Gonzaga to win a national championship. I mean, they have just been, they have just been unreal. And, you know, I got a little concerned when I saw them playing in some of those West Coast Conference games. It looked, just looked like they were coasting, but it looked like they were just able to flip the switch against their competition. And, I mean, this team's got four NBA prospects on their team. And, I mean, they're going to be tough. You know, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Andy Katz and Ernie Johnson had a really nice conversation earlier this evening about if Gonzaga wins this championship, where do they rank as one of the elite of all time? And, you know, they were comparing them against the UNLV running Rebel team of 1990.
Saw that.
Greg Anthony, Grandma Ma, Stacey Altman.
Larry Johnson,
The 1992 Duke team. The Tar Heel team of James Worthy, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, the 76 Indiana team, the 84 Georgetown team, the 96 Kentucky team, the Anthony Davis Kentucky team. So we could pose that question to you all. To me, that UNLV team just stands out to me, and I'm a Tar Heel fan, but that UNLV team was really impressive for where they just smoked Duke in the national championship game by 30 points. And then the following year, they came back and was undefeated, and they got upset in the Final Four. But to me, that's still one of the most impressive teams in college basketball that I've witnessed. In addition to that, James Worthy, Sam Perkins, Michael Jordan, Tar Heel team. And then last night, of course, the Texas two-step, Houston. Shout out to Kelvin.
Oh yeah, the old Texas two-step.
And Houston looking really good. And a shout-out to a couple of St. Augustine Purple Knights from New Orleans. Same high school. They're guys a little younger than I am. But Quanis White and Hollis Price, assistant coaches at Houston, actually played for Kelvin Sampson at Oklahoma. And and they're assistant coaches for the Houston Cougars. So shout-out to them as well, going to the Final Four. And then Baylor. Baylor just got three-point shooters all over the team. And their defense, they're not even a very imposing big team. But they just, with their three-point shooting and their defense, and they run people off the three-point line, they have been impressive as well. So that's just a little quick recap from my end. But we'd like to hear from you guys on how do you guys, if Gonzaga wins this, how do they rank against some of the best ever?
Good call.
Yeah, well, I got to talk with Baylor because my boy Maceo Teague, I didn't even realize it. From Cincinnati and graduated from my high school. Was leading score last night for Baylor with 22 points. That Baylor team, that's going to be a really good game, that Houston-Baylor game. Those two teams that like to get up and get out of the floor. That is going to be a – I don't know how many points they're going to score because they're going to be in each other's jockstraps defensively. So we'll see how it turns out. But that to me is going to be really interesting to watch how that turns out. And on the other side of that, you know, Gonzaga just – the thing about it is that it's Gonzaga. You know, and I hate to say that. But, you know, they don't really get a lot of, you know, respect from the West Coast to the East Coast. They're like, you know, you just like, okay, they're playing in the WCC. You know, after they people take out the fact that they played a really good, decent non-conference schedule and beat everybody, right? So, but then they fall into the WCC and people are like, oh, they ain't playing nobody. And to your point, Rob, you feel like it was going to be soft coming to the tournament, not playing anybody down the stretch. And they have just been putting a whooping on people. And I don't know what to say about it. I mean, you know, Michigan and UCLA, and Mick Cronin, you know, he really hangs his hat on playing defense. He did that at Cincinnati. He brought that to UCLA, and he's kind of changed their ways and try to be more free one like UCLA was to a more gritty, grinded-out kind of team that UCLA is playing as right now. The only reason I don't like him is because of the way he left Cincinnati, and I get it. If you ask anybody whether they really live in Los Angeles or live in Cincinnati, they don't pick Los Angeles, but it's just the way he went about it in terms of, oh, I love you, see, I'm coming back, and then, you know, it was like, they showed him the money, he was out in the middle of the night. That's my reason for, you know, not really being a big home fan at this point. But he's got that UCLA team playing good ball, like Rob said, you know, from the play-in game to potentially going to the Final Four. You got to give him a lot of credit for doing that with UCLA this year. So I'm just really dumbfounded by how well these teams, the Western and Mississippi, have played in this tournament. They have just taken over this tournament between the Pac-12 and then you got all of the Texas half of the bracket in the Final Four. That's amazing. I didn't see that coming at all. So you got to give those teams a lot of credit. And Gonzaga, the way they're beating people, the only knock that's going to be against them is the fact that you don't have any Kentucky in here. You don't have a Duke in there. You had a watered-down North Carolina team. They're going to get knocked because they didn't really have to roll through some of the traditional powers that we're used to seeing in the NCAA tournament, making it far to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, Final Four. That's the only way reason I think people are really knocking them, because they're going undefeated, and the way they are beating people, if they continue this in the, over the next 2 days, you got to give them all the respect in the world. But not playing the Blue Bloods, all the people that follow the Blue Bloods are like, well, we were down, we wasn't in it, so what would happen if we had had our regular team? And people are going to bash them for that unfairly, but I just feel like that's what's going to happen because of the fact.
Gotcha. Hey, hold on really quickly. JQ, if a pretty girl asked you out to the prom, you're going to go with the prettier girl, man. So that's what Mick Cronin, man. The pretty girl came and asked him out. So
I get it.
Come on, man.
I get it, but they were already talking to him about it. And he was, I mean, just like, you know, keep my eyes open. Be real with me is all I'm saying. Because I get it, but, you know, it's that whole,
the pretty girl,
I'm good,
like,
I'm good,
whoa.
I love you here, I'm staying. And then the next day he was gone and it was over. And was like, for real, dude? Yesterday he just said that he was signing an extension. Now you're gone. So... I mean, it's
hot,
man. When you're the jilted party, you're going to feel a certain kind of way. You know what I mean? You're going to feel a certain kind of way. That's all there is to it. You know, it is what it is.
Gary Curtis, what you got, man?
Curtis, you want to start it out? I'll start it out. Hey, if the Zags win, they go on that level with Indiana, with Bobby Knight, and that team that went undefeated. And it was Scott May.
1976.
And the guys, they go to
Legendary. Wow.
That is still, that's the only team I can think of and that I remember that went through the whole season undefeated and won the whole thing. Bobby Knight. And then Mike Fuel, the coach of the Zags, will be put on that legendary status also with Bobby Knight. But I think they like Mark Few a lot more than they like Bobby Knight. Because Bobby
Knight was controversial.
He was a mean. He had some war. Let's put it that way. Mark Few doesn't have those kind of war. He gets good kids, and that's a smart school. And that's legendary. No matter where that came from. To go undefeated and win a college championship. I only know two.
Wow. He's the Andy Reid of college basketball coaches. If you, I mean, he got really close. He's had a good program, but he could get over the hump. If he gets over the hump this year, yeah, he's got to put some respect on the thing.
Well, that's I mean, what the Zags have done, you know, this year is so far is remarkable. They haven't won yet, but they're really looking strong. But I will say this, that program has been strong, amongst the strongest, you know, in the nation for a while under this guy. You know, he's led them, you know, to Sweet 16s and Elite 8s and this sort of thing. And he's, you know, he's a great basketball mind, and that's why they're able to recruit the way they're able to recruit now, is because people want to come and play for this guy. You know, he's a good guy. Of course, a legend in that area. You know, you get tired of it. I'm in the Spokane area a lot, and I really get, you know, sick and tired of hearing, that's all I want to do is talk about this damn bag. Every damn grocery store. Yeah. Whatever. And you know what? I think they're great, but you know what? This is football season. We're not talking about the Zag. You know, this is baseball season. We're not talking about the Zag. You know, let's talk about something else. But that's what it's all about.
That's what they
got. And don't let me forget. Look how many people he's put into pro basketball. There's been a lot of kids come out of the Zag program in pro basketball net. And one of my friends, his name was Brian Grant. Brian Grant graduated from the Zag. He went to the thing.
Nice.
And I stand up for people that are not that big but are in the NBA from Gonzaga.
Yeah. Very good call. Lou's been waiting
for you. One thing I will say about before we move on is I want to say the, you know, congratulations to the Beavers and Ducks playing as hard as they could, even down, you know, in those games. And, you know, especially in that last Beaver game to get it where they were tied up at 55. And, you know, they lost it, but they really battled and, you know, they represented their schools well. They played their asses off to get there, and I'm proud of those two programs. So congratulations to both
Nice. Good call. Lou, what you got, man?
Well, right now, I mean, I think most of you were thinking that, you know, if UCLA wins, it'd be UCLA wins, you'd be quite upset. Well, I think we're underestimating the Bruins a bit because, remember, UCLA is a very powerful basketball school. I mean, I think maybe, you know, I think maybe it's a little bit low for the 11th seed. You know,
yeah.
Nevertheless, getting this far, you know, is just, you know, well, it's quite a remarkable accomplishment. But to say that this would be a Cinderella team, no, no, far from it. I mean, this is a legendary school we're talking about here.
You know, yes.
So.
You got it.
Everybody's like,
absolutely.
Oh, this is a Cinderella team. No, a Cinderella team is someone who's never been there or only has really ever been there, and you don't expect it. This, I don't count as much as a Cinderella team.
Good call. Good call, even though the ranking, yeah. What you got, Nas?
Yeah, I guess I'll be the bad guy. So Gonzaga, it seems like they benefited from their past success.
Uh-oh.
So getting to those Elite Eights and Sweet 16s, that means you upgrade your facilities, you become a brand name, so you get better players, and, you know, eventually you hit this trajectory that they're on now. But overall, college basketball is a lesser product than it used to be. One and done, the idea that people can go overseas and play as opposed to playing here.
Yeah.
You don't get the veteran, you know, stars that we used to get.
I agree.
Basically, we are watching, like, JV basketball, like, the Euro leagues and some of the other semi-pro leagues, they're way higher than what our basketball is right now. Back in the day, college basketball was better than their pro basketball. So I'll say this. That Florida 2000 team will wipe Gonzaga off the floor. Those championships y'all talking about, they ain't even close in comparison. I think if you put this team in the ACC in the 90s, they possibly don't make the tournament. They damn sure ain't winning the conference or the Big East or the Big Ten of the 90s. And like, we're just looking at a down era of college basketball. I'm not saying it's to slight those young men. They're the best of this era. I'm just saying this is a weaker era. It's like looking at boxing when you say, you know, a Floyd Mayweather in an era where there's not a lot of, you know, great middleweights or, you know, light heavies and things like that. When you go to different eras, you see Hall of Famers everywhere, which is why Floyd can box till he's damn near 40, or Manny can box till he's damn near 40. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a lesser mode of college basketball. Salute to them for dominating, because you can only beat who's in front of you. But I don't compare them to those past championship teams.
That Florida team, that's a really good call. I mean, you're talking about John Kim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford. That's they won back to back championships too, right? And
yes, they did.
Gonzaga team, I think the one thing that impresses me about this team is when you look at Jalen Suggs, that he's a big time recruit. I mean, Jalen Suggs is a 5-star recruit out of Minneapolis. And this is Gonzaga in the past wasn't getting those type of players. They were getting maybe some 3- and 4-star players, and they were developing, and they were staying around for 3 to 4 years, and that's what made them competitive. And I do agree with Nas on the standpoint that the college basketball product is not what it once was. And the reason for that is you got so many guys, as you mentioned, they can go play in overseas. They can go play in the G League now. And then the ones that do come, the stars, most of them only play 1 year, right? So you're not getting him. You saw Zion Williamson play 1 year at Duke, right, and he was in the league. And technically he should be a junior in college right now if he was, you know, still in college basketball. And that's what you're not seeing anymore. I mean, even that Florida team with Joakim Noah and Al Horford, those guys stayed around for 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And Grandma Ma, Greg Anthony and those guys, Christian Lake.
Larry Johnson.
Blue
Johnson.
Devils. Jordan at least stayed to his junior year. Ewan stayed to his junior senior year with Georgetown when they were dominant. And so that's the difference. Jalen Suggs right now, he's a star. This Gonzaga team for us, NBA prospect-wise, he's a one-and-done guy. He's in the draft next year. But the most, if you really look at it, the most successful college teams right now are the ones that can get good players and keep them for 3 to 4 years as opposed to getting great
Absolutely.
Players and only keeping them for one
year.
And you saw Kentucky had some success for a while with getting those one-and-done guys, but now they're not even having success with these guys anymore. So
every class is not the same. One blue-chip class
sure.
of freshmen that can win a chip, and then another class of freshmen where you're like, oh, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And they still
think,
we are.
Yep.
I think in order for you to be successful, you got to get a lot of good players, 3- and 4-star recruits, and maybe sneak in that one great player here and there every now and again. You have to have guys on your team that's going to be in the program for 3 to 4 years for you to be somewhat successful as far as winning the championship-wise.
We talk about great guards. We used to talk about, I agree with you, Naj and Rob, kind of, you know, used to – follow a team, like they would reload each year, like, you know, all right, you know, we knew that Rebs were good, so we got to get better going into the offseason. You know, we used to hate Duke, but, you know, they're bringing back Christian Laettner, they're bringing back Bobby Hurley, and they got Grant Hill, so they kept reloading, they got prepared. So you kind of followed that squad as they went to, 4 years deep. And now will you ever get a Tim Duncan again? You know, he was just a great story of just kind of like evolving every single year. And then, well, I'm just saying, he was a great player in college, too. He stayed at Wake Forest for all 4 years.
Yeah.
And he came out. He was a polished product, one of the greatest power forwards in the game. So it just kind of shows you how, you know, who he developed and how he got better each and every year, too. And I know, JQ, you kind of hate this, but, you know, talking about just kind of those great teams. I mean, Michigan, the Fab Five. Are you going to have another Fab Five ever again? I know not about just the players, JQ, but about how they kind of changed the culture. They came in. They had swag, you know. I know we've talked about this again, but I'm just saying, JQ, it was just great to see how they had impacted America, if you will, too. I know you hate that Michigan side, too, but it was just kind of a phenomenon that they were so – I know, but –
Right,
like
you can't
staff,
have a
like,
Fab
man.
Five today and they all come back. They came back
right.
for their sophomore year, and then three came back for their junior year. Like, you can't have it when they all come back.
It's rare nowadays. Yeah, but I'm just saying.
But I don't want to take anything away from this Gonzaga team either, because when you watch they play a very easy style of basketball. Their pace of play, they get it done on both ends of the floor. And so I don't want to make it sound like we're taking anything away from this team.
Absolutely.
Because when you really watch them play, the ball is constantly moving. I mean, they move the basketball better than any team in college basketball. So the way they play the game and the pace that they play is an NBA style of basketball. And so you can't take that away from them either. And like I said, they got 4 NBA prospects on this team and 2 lot of
them. Yeah, they're really good. But look, we all do this every year within our own state. And I'm from Illinois. In Illinois, we had Class A and Class AA. Class AA was where us, Chicago, and all the real schools were. Class A was where all the farm teams and lesser D3 guys were. You know what I'm saying? And I think all of y'all know, like, every state has these classifications where if you win the title in one of those criteria, that means something different than winning it in another. So I'm not knocking Gonzaga. They're the best of what's here. Like, you can't – hey, they beat these in front of them. You got to give them their credit. I'm just saying this is not – this ain't what UNLV went through. This ain't that gauntlet. This ain't what Duke 92 went through. Like, you put Duke 92 into today, my God.
UNLV team in my era is probably the best college basketball team.
Well, but
– there's only been
– undefeated. It's undefeated. There's been plenty of college championship teams that have lost four, six games.
There's undefeated and undefeated. I could go to the midnight men's league with the 40 and ups.
And there's only been four teams four teams. Curtis, you're right. Legendary. If they win, there's only been four teams that have been undefeated. You guys know the four? You guys know who they are? UCLA.
We got Indiana, UCLA.
Indiana, North Carolina.
UCLA.
And San Francisco.
Indiana.
That's it.
Damn.
Four teams
the Bill
that
Russell
have
San Francisco.
Been undefeated.
Bill
yeah,
Russell.
Whatever.
Bill Russell.
The last time was in 1976.
That was in 1955. Yeah, that was something. That's
yeah.
The last person was like 1975, 1976. That was Indiana. That was the last undefeated
yeah.
team. So if they win, they are, like Curtis said, going to be legend. That's rough. I mean, you haven't done that almost damn near, like, what, 30-something years? 40 years? That's crazy.
45.
And I'll make the statement.
45,
if it happens,
yeah.
We'll see it again before the next decade because we're dealing with
we
a
will.
Lesser product and it's harder to do.
Yeah.
That 76 Indiana team was stacked, and this was Bob Knight at the height of his powers as a great
mm-hmm.
tactician. That motion
mm-hmm.
and man-to-man defense. Like,
yep.
Bob Knight's an asshole, but we all know Bob Knight was a basketball genius.
He was an asshole genius, yep. And I'm from Indiana, so I know
yeah.
exactly what you're talking about. So, yeah.
Who is the
man,
star?
I just want to throw that out there, too.
Ken Benson.
Yeah, Ken Benson,
oh,
Sean
man.
May.
Sean
yeah.
May was on there.
Or should we say
like,
Sean May
Sr.
Right. now? Right.
Yeah, yep. Anyway, I know we've spent a lot of time on that topic because Rob kind of opened up the door, too, but just – something to think about, and definitely good conversation here to hear you guys kind of go back and forth as far as the weekend product, man, you know, because, you know, we talk about how anyone can kind of win, man, nowadays too, man. So, you know, they had a Quinn Buckner on the squad too, I want to say too, Rob, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Scott,
yeah.
Quinn Buckner. Yep. So just one of those squads. Look there, yeah. You're crazy.
Yeah. Quinn Buckner was a monster in college. He was one of those guys where his pro
gosh.
Ceiling is going to be
yeah.
really low, but in college, he's a really good college player.
The topic's getting reduced, man, because so many things to talk about. I know kind of quickly there's a couple things we can talk about. You know, Kelvin Sampson kind of rebuilt his reputation, kind of going, building that program from Houston because he was trying to hide and kind of lay low. So congrats to him. I don't know if we want to talk about that. JQ, you have an opportunity to talk about Andre Drummond joining the Lakers and the craziness behind Dennis Schroeder turning down the contract. And then we want to definitely talk about, you know, Evan Fournier. And then we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Will he be traded? Because we saw some moves as far as what happened over the past week with the 49ers moving up. And then, obviously, Rob, talking about your mock draft, too. So a couple things I want to talk about before we kind of get – we've got about 30 minutes to kind of get to all these topics, too. So I'm going to start with West Coast here, kind of let Curtis and Gary kind of start, and then we'll kind of trail way back. So you guys can kind of pick a couple topics, too. I want to get into all these, if you will. But, again, kind of the floor is kind of yours from that perspective, if you will. Justin Fields' pro day was today, too. Man, wow. Good job. Go ahead.
The one thing I would start off with is Garoppolo. I really hope that he's traded back to the Patriots.
Oh, that may happen, actually. That may happen.
I really hope he does because that was a product of Belichick. And it's going to fail miserably because I think he's a crappy quarterback. He had one season in when Brady was out.
Yeah.
They probably were in 11-5 or whatever. Those days are done. I can't wait. Hope that's
It wasn't even a season, Curtis. It was like four games.
That's Gary.
Gary, my bad.
No, he went in for the majority of the season. Yes, he did. Am I right, Rob? Didn't he go in and play almost a whole season for the Patriots when he was there?
Garoppolo?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he started a whole season for the Patriots. No,
yeah, it was like four
games.
Or five games.
Not close, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a couple of games or something. But
the guy was the backup quarterback for the Colts last year. He was the one that started four games for the Patriots when Brady was suspended those four games.
Not,
and the Patriots
not,
were 3-1.
Was it Jacoby Brissett?
No,
Brissett started a couple of that season.
But the other guys is who he's thinking of that went 11-5, whose name I can't recall. What was his name?
Matt Castle. I think that would be a great move for the Patriot haters. Which, please, want everyone to know that I'm one of them. I hate to
see you. We know you. We know you and Curtis.
I'm not against Michigan, okay? But the only other thing I want to bring up is don't coddle JQ about Michigan, okay? I'm sorry, we're talking about Michigan now. JQ, he's a grown man. If he has a few tears in his eyes, that's fine, but just, you know, let him tissue up and move forward. Sorry, JQ. I'm not still on your side, though. I
want
you to know that.
You're buddies, man. Okay.
I didn't even hear what you said. All I heard was Michigan and JQ. What are we talking about? What does that have to do with Jimmy G?
He said before you speak on every show, they should play Hail to the Victors in the background.
Oh, that's that bullshit. See, that's why I didn't hear it, because my eardrums wouldn't let me hear that bullshit come out your mouth. So that's crazy to talk about. I'm not going to listen to that. Listen, they're not going to – I wouldn't trade for Jimmy G. If I'm the 49ers, I would treat Jimmy G how Miami treated Fitzpatrick with Tua this year. They moved up, obviously, to go get a quarterback. Justin Fields looked really good today, so we're going to see which one they get. If I'm not my whole tight only – that you got to have somebody better than C.J. Better than that other clown they had that backed up Jimmy G when he got hurt because he wrecked their whole team.
Yeah.
So if I'm San Francisco, I keep him for a year and say, hey, you start, which I can't stay healthy anyway. I'm letting the other dude learn behind you. If you are either hurt or inefficient, then I bring him along sometime after the bye week and let the quarterback next time draft him, and then I bring him in, and then bye-bye Jimmy G after this year. I think that's if you're San Francisco, that's what you do. You don't necessarily, because you got a good team. You don't necessarily want to throw that dude to the fire right away. I would let him learn and kind of just figure it out without having to be, you know, the savior right out the gate. You know what I mean? But if Jimmy G sucks, at least you got a better insurance policy than C.J. Beathard.
I think Robert.
Yeah, but can you spend that kind of draft capital and move up for insurance?
You already moved up.
He need to put his sales sign up, and he need to look for new schools for the kids, man. It's time to go.
I read the story. They said they went to ownership and told ownership they wanted to do this, and then ownership gave them the blessing to keep Jimmy G on the books. He's like $27 million or something like that this year. So they've run that by ownership of this is our plan from what I read on the ESPN article today. Maybe that's the focus thing. It could be. That's what they told him before he got the blessing to make the trade.
Weak, yeah. Curtis?
We want to keep him. That's negotiation with Bill.
The whole issue is,
you'd be right.
Garoppolo is injury prone. He's one injury away from being a bust. And if it's this year, one injury away from being a bust. And that's where he is. And I think that's what they did. Let's go get them insurance policy. Because they have no faith in Garoppolo making it through the damn season.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I totally agree with JQ
so many times. With the injury. And that's the whole ball game. You got to be available.
Right.
To be available.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with JQ's philosophy on this. You don't move up to number three in the draft. If you think Garoppolo is your franchise quarterback, right? The 49ers just told the NFL and all the NFL fans that Garoppolo is not our franchise quarterback. And so you don't move up to number three for the sake of that, right? But I do agree you keep him around for at least this 1 year, either to start Garoppolo initially, then go to the rookie, or, you know, just having Garoppolo as a backup for a year, right? And the 49ers believe they have the personnel to get back to NFC West champion, to get back to the Super Bowl, right? So you want to have two quarterbacks to protect yourself. off in that situation, because if your main guy gets hurt, you don't have anybody there. You're done. You know, you're done in competing for
Mac
a title,
Jones?
Right? Yeah. Now, is the Mac Jones a smokescreen? We don't know. You know, the 49ers didn't send any of their top executives to Justin Fields' pro day, but they went to Mac Jones' pro day twice. You know, my latest mock draft, I got the 49ers taking Trey Lance. To me, from a giftedness standpoint, Trey Lance is the guy right after Trevor Lawrence when you look at the size and mobility and arm talent. To me, you know, we'll see, you know. But right now, I'm going to say Trey Lance, and the Mac Jones thing could be a smokescreen. But like I said, just from a talent and giftedness standpoint, Trey Lance is behind Trevor Lawrence there and will be the guy that I would think they will be moving up for in the draft. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. You know, this is the time of the year where no NFL GMs and coaches are telling the truth. You know, they all have smoke
lions
right now, right? There you go. And, you know, one of my favorite lines is a lie doesn't care who tells it, and they're all doing it.
Oh. Right. JQ dropped off for some reason. They're comparing this is good for Curtis and Gary. They're comparing Justin Fields to a more athletic Dak Prescott, believe it or not. So, anyway, yeah. Hold on. I wanted to have JQ back here. JQ, are you?
Yeah, Wild Talk just said, F me. They just dropped me for no reason. Damn.
Yeah. I was going to say, JQ, they were comparing Justin Fields to a more athletic Dak Prescott. Somebody was saying that. I don't know. That was kind of interesting to hear that, too. I thought that was like, what? Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You know who's at home with hearing what Rob just said and all that Trey Lance stuff? The Carolina Panthers sitting there at 8. They said, please, for the love of God, please let it be Mac Jones and take Trey Lance in front of him so we can let Justin Fields fall out of the game. Or maybe you only have to move up to like 7 or 6. If I'm Carolina, I'm sitting back here like Mr. Burns, just waiting.
Yeah. They're going to get the whatever quarterback left, obviously. And you don't know if Mac Jones is the guy, like you said, Robin, guys, because – He looks the part. You know, I don't know. He was inflated by having all that talent at Alabama. I don't know what the hell the Falcons are going to do. Are they going to draft a quarterback? Are they still open? They're not going to trade within the division. They're not going to trade with Carolina. So they know their only other person, I think, is like 12 or 15, if I'm not mistaken. I think Denver's at 12, and I think the Patriots at 15. So you're not going to trade within the division to face that guy. So no one knows.
Well, we bought
Detroit. That's a good call.
And I got questions about any organization that says we're going to hang back and just get who's ever left. Like, what? If you're serious about a quarterback, you need to get – you need to spend the capital, move up, and get the guy that you like. Like, sitting back and saying whichever quarterback falls to us, that's not a strategy. That's saying, well, I guess we ain't really looking at our board. We ain't listening to our scouts. We're just going to take whichever quarterback is there. Man, you better spend that capital and move up if you like somebody.
I got the first four picks all being quarterbacks on the latest mock, so that's going to be interesting. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, Jets, Zach Wilson, San Fran, Trey Lance, and Falcons, Justin Fields.
Yeah. They could take Sam Darnold for Carolina, Naj. They can come back and get Sam Darnold. He may be open.
No, I mean, that'd be smart. No, it really would. Take a shot on him. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with taking a shot on him.
I'm just saying that may be the draft strategy there. Whoever's left, like, damn, we don't have anyone left. Because after the first, you know, four, like you said, that leaves Mac Jones and whoever's going to be after that. And then Philly got their guy. Like I said, you got to figure out what's going to happen with you know, Denver. That's going to be gone. But, yeah, there you go. All right, guys,
just trying to think about a meeting with ownership and be like, whichever quarterback falls, that's the one we're going to get. What?
Well, it's not like that. It's not like that. That's only bad if you got two of them at 93 on your draft board in terms of grading. The other one's a 76. And he's like, I just picked the 76 and he falls to me. But if you got three guys that are like 92, 90, 91, and they're, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C, then that's a little different. I mean, if you go from an A to a D and just say, well, the D was on the board, so I took him, then yeah, that's terrible. Shit, I would agree with you on that point. But if they're close, then you can be a little picky. You can be a little bit more patient.
I know what you're saying. I just don't think you can do that with quarterbacks. Get the one you like.
Lou's our New York Jets fan. Lou, are you okay with getting Zach Wilson? Is that kind of what the world of the street is? Are you okay with that?
That's what I'm hoping for. You know,
wow.
Getting a better quarterback.
Dump
him quickly. I mean, he's done nothing in the 3 years he's been with us. You see his day, he's not going to get better.
True.
Let him go.
Okay.
Lou's right. Darnold can't win in New York. If things go suspect, he's going to get blamed. And if he proves himself to be, you know, as good as what he's supposed to be, then, man, what the hell you been doing in the past 3 years? It's just too big a risk to be a Jet. You got to get off him.
Yeah, all right. Rob, what you got for the mock draft real quick? Because apparently – if you're a Carolina Panther fan, what are you looking at? I know Cincinnati's going to Harden pay for Jamar Chase. There's going to be some different things happening. Is there going to get him and Nate Sewell going to be there? Are they going to get Kyle Pitts? What do you got for your mock draft here?
Well, you know, we already talked about the 49ers moving up to number 3. You know, already talked about the top 4 picks. I'm going to talk about a little bit about what I think some teams may look like doing.
Rob,
you know, my latest
mock. Who are they taking at 3? Who are they taking 3? The 49ers. You got them taking number 3. If you're the 49ers, who do you got them moving up for?
Trey Lance.
By the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got them taking Trey Lance at number 3. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I got Carolina actually taking Kyle Pitts, the tight end at Florida, and not reaching for Mac Jones at the number 8 spot. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I'll talk about a few teams here and what I project them doing here. We'll start with JQ's Bengals. So JQ might like this. In my latest mock, Penei Sewell is going number 5 to the Bengals right after the 4 quarterbacks that are taking 1 through 4. Although Jamar Chase is going to be in the mix, we all know that Joe Burrow is pushing for Jamar Chase really hard. Several media outlets are pushing for that, or reporting that, I should say. So that's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. The Bengals in the second round, I haven't taken Jamin Davis, linebacker from Kentucky, guy that can run sideline to sideline from Kentucky there. Have the Bengals taken him in the second round. And then the third round, I haven't taken wide receiver Tutu Atwell, a guy that can run. He's got blazing speed. Is he the – defined receiver as a Devontae Smith or Jamar Chase? No, but he's a guy that could be a third or fourth option for you if you're the Bengals there in the third round in 2-2 as well. Jacksonville, you know, Urban Meyer's often pretty much said, looks like Trevor Lawrence is their guy at the number 1 spot. They got 2 first-round picks, so I got them taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker from Notre Dame, another guy who can rush the passer as well as play in the middle and cover in the back end as well and run sideline to side well as well. Rashard Bateman, wide receiver from Minnesota in the second round, speed guy with good size, good hands as well. Have them taking him the first pick of the second round. Ronnie Perkins was an elite pass rusher in college for Oklahoma. The only reason why he's going in the second round, he still needs to get some more size on him. And that's something they'll have to work with in the NFL. But I haven't gone in the second round. And then Kelvin Joseph, having Jacksonville taking him in the third round, DB from Kentucky, who can probably play a little safety as well as some cornerback. Let's talk about the Jets here. We already talked about Zach Wilson at number 2. We got Jalen Phillips.
Who's hilarious.
Robert Saleh gets him a great pass rusher and Jalen Phillips from the University of Miami in that second first-round pick for the Jets. I tell you what, his pro day was phenomenal. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Jalen Phillips ran basically a 4.5 40, a defensive end. If the Jets, if Robert Saleh can get their hands on him with that second first-round pick, it gives him a defensive weapon. Then in the second round, they come back and get Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle, from Alabama to protect Zach Wilson. And then they come back and get Aaron Robinson, the cornerback from Central Florida in the third round. And JQ probably know this name, Pete Werner, linebacker from Ohio State. They also picked him up in the third round. And two more teams I'll highlight here. The 49ers. We're going to talk about Trey Lance. Hey, what are the 49ers doing the rest of the draft? I haven't taken Pat Freiermuth, a tight end from Penn State. I know they got George already at tight end. But we know a lot of teams are going to that two tight end offense. They're having some weapons. Tight ends are being used like wide receivers. So the 49ers get another weapon there. And they get another pass rusher in the third round, Peyton Turner from Houston. And the last team I'll touch on is Detroit. I got Ja'Marr Chase dropping number 7 to Detroit in this mock. And I have him taking Richie Grant, all-around safety from Central Florida in the second round. And Detroit's got 2 third-round picks. I got him beefing up that defensive line with Alen McNeil and Marvin Wilson from Florida State.
I hope that doesn't do anything
like
that.
You know you guys know what Atlanta's going to do. And in Dallas, how are you going to put Atlanta in Dallas in those picks? You know you got
to for real, man. Dallas for real, here. Rob. Come on, man.
What's
come
that?
Come on, bro.
Atlanta and Dallas.
What about Atlanta and Dallas?
This guy right here. This guy right here.
Oh, y'all want to know what I have
what
this
you
one
got?
In my?
Come on, man. Come on, man. What the hell? Like,
all right,
man.
I get it to you. Hey, I didn't even talk about the same. I was just going through a few teams.
This mofo. I got nothing.
Wow.
Go ahead, Rob, damn it. We got like 9 minutes. Go, bro.
Let me pull up my notes here. I didn't have those ready available for me.
I already told you
I got Atlanta taking Justin Fields in the first round. In the second round,
that's
I got Atlanta taking Creed Humphrey, center from Oklahoma, who can also play guard and interior offensive lineman. I know Atlanta's got Matt Hennessy there that can possibly take over a center, but it got Creed Humphrey there that can play center as well as some guard. Again, in the third round, I got Atlanta beefing up their wide receiver core and getting Tylan Wallace, wide receiver from Oklahoma State. So that's what I have the Falcons doing. The Cowboys.
Wow.
Let's see.
Patrick Surtain.
The Cowboys got Patrick Surtain, cornerback, Alabama. A guy that can cover and come up and stuff to run as well if you need to.
Dan Quinn.
In the second round, I got the Cowboys getting Joe Tryon, edge rusher from Washington up there in the Pacific Northwest. He's another guy that can bulk up a little bit, but he can be explosive off the edge. I think will be a good value there in the second round. And then in the third round, got the Cowboys getting the safety, Andre Sisco from Syracuse.
Anybody
guy
named Andre's awesome.
He's probably the second-round talent, but he's another guy that could really probably – you know, he possibly couldn't even start day one, even in the third round pick.
It is.
Yeah, because Dallas needs to stay there.
Dallas got Keanu Neal and Kazee. They keep drafting our players, man. They keep finding our players. There you go. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome, guys.
Thank you.
You're going to get, like, fast and physical players. You're gonna get somebody that, I don't know if Patrick Surtain fits the mold. He likes the long arms. He didn't like guys. He likes to coach them up. So you're going to get somebody that's, like, fast and physical. We're sick of that nonsense. Appreciate you, Rob.
Yeah.
we've got nothing. Free for all. What you got in that, Naj? Anything fun and exciting about that?
One point lead.
Nah, I got
nothing.
You got that. Louis, you got something on that?
I tell you.
Go ahead.
I tell you what, though. When the Bengals signed Raleigh Riso when he got cut from Minnesota, that opens that door for Cincinnati at 5. I would not be shocked at all if they take Ja'Marr Chase or Belanda and take him before Cincinnati. I think the more I hear, the more I believe that the Bengals are going to take Ja'Marr Chase, because if you listen to that report as well about San Francisco, they were determined. They basically said, we pretty much know that Cincinnati is taking Ja'Marr Chase at 5. So let's move up in this part, just above them, and get in front of Philadelphia. I was like, wow, really? The executive just talking about it like that? Let's go take Ja'Marr Chase. But if you could give Burrow, if Raleigh Reese pans out, if you give him Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon in that backfield, I don't know what they're going to do on defense. That offense might be silly.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough, JQ, because I don't know if we need a quarterback.
I think taking the best player, I would love a Jamar Chase, you know, because Julio's getting older. So I'm kind of torn, man, because, you know, as much as – I mean, is he that great of a player? Could he get another Jamar Chase? I don't know if the offense is built for having a wide receiver. You know, that's kind of what I'm looking at for us right now, man. You know, just, you know, we're kind of built running-wise. I don't know, kind of a wasted pick, if you will. So we got to beef up the offensive line. You need a quarterback at some point. So, you know, I don't know. Curtis, Gary, are you okay with the Dallas picks here getting, if you will, if he's actually getting Patrick Surtain, are you okay with that, if you will, or what do you say about that?
Curtis, Dallas, that coaching staff has got to prove something to me. And then Dak has got to prove something to me. They got to keep an offensive line healthy. They should score a lot of points. There's no reason why Zeke can't be the leading rusher in the league, but they find a reason for it. So they're all disappointing. And anything would be better than the defense they had out there last year.
Who's your quarterback? Who's your quarterback? You got rid of Andy Dalton, guys. Who's your quarterback, Gary? Who's your backup quarterback now? If you're still waiting for Dak, right? Who's the guy? Just in case Dak isn't ready.
Oh, he's gonna be back.
We're not gonna be waiting for Dak. Dak's gonna be ready.
Dak's
gonna be ready. We're going for Garoppolo.
Yeah. That'd be funny. That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious.
Yes.
Hey, Rob.
Wow.
How can you go wrong with the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? You're going to the Super Bowl with the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm really interested to hear that a person that I feel like is really following the draft process is Micah Parsons from Penn State. I know he opted out of this season, but coming into last football season, he was really thought of highly, like top 10, top 12. In the draft, and in all the mock drafts I see now, I don't hear Micah Parsons being mentioned at all. Have you heard anything about him, why he's falling like that?
That is teachable, I'll tell you what.
He had a phenomenal pro day, and so I think he's probably still going to be somewhere in that 7 to 15 range, and right now I have him going 11 to the Giants. So initially, most mocks had him going to the 10. In the top 10. But right now, I have him going to 11 to the Giants. You know, I think he reminds me a lot of Isaiah Simmons, who was in the draft last year personally. And, I mean, he was a freak at their pro day. I mean, he basically ran a 4.4 40. I think that, you know, and the thing of it, you know, he didn't play last year. He opted out. And, you know, I think that pro day helped solidify his status a little bit. And not having that film to watch him on last season kind of hurt a little bit. But I think his pro day was outstanding, and I think he's going to fall somewhere in that 7 to 15 spot, and I got him right in the middle at number 11 to the Giants right now.
That's a good kick for the Giants. The Giants is going to be a real problem. They kind of loads up on that defense. I was just wondering, because I've seen them play.
They're going to be team to watch in that NFC.
Yeah. Like Parsons.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music? That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. I'm talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, live at 11 p.m. Eastern for our friends in Charlotte and Miami. Hey, South Beach, y'all need to be social distancing down there, man. It's not time to be partying down there all up on each other right now. Like, we still got the pandemic.
I got the vaccine.
Got a party at 11 o'clock next Tuesday. Tune in to our show from home, South Beach, 11 o'clock Eastern. 10 o'clock Central for our friends down in the Big Easy. 9 p.m. for our friends down in Albuquerque. Hey, L.A., Portland, and Seattle, stand up. Tune in at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on this link for the rest of the show. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter and Facebook. Let us know if you agree with us on some topics or disagree with us. We'd just love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. And join us again on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
What about some folks in Albuquerque and in Fresno, which is the Jackson of California?
I was trying to give them a break tonight. We picked on Fresno for 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Yeah, I ain't going to never let that go, bro. That's hilarious. Hey, man, we appreciate all y'all listening to this show. We'll let y'all next week. Y'all be safe and have a happy Easter.
Hey, a man ain't got some great oranges in Fresno. I'll give him that, though.
That's some random shit.
Rob, hey, man, some of the best oranges I've ever had in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, they got some great oranges.
Albuquerque.
Oh, here we go.
There you go.
Do the fantasy shout-outs. Do the fantasy shout-outs, Rob. I'll let you guys get your last topics in. We'll close out the day, man. So you guys can talk about anything you want to talk about, you know, the little bit left. So go ahead. We've got fantasy shout-outs to do, Rob. Thanks to Duke,
right,
man. He's hanging out, man.
First, I'll talk about our tournament challenge here. That we have going on. I tell you what, UCLA is up by two right here. If Michigan goes to the Final Four, then Andre wins our tournament challenge. If UCLA wins, then it looks like Andre and I will finish in a tie. So what?
What's that score? 51-49? Woo, this is exciting basketball.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Shut up, Josh.
UCLA is up by two with 3.8 seconds to go here. And if Michigan wins, Andre wins our challenge. If UCLA wins, it looks like Andre and I will finish first in a tie here. So that's our NCAA tournament challenge. But on our fantasy basketball front, my team had the biggest win of the week with a 7-2 win over Andre's team, triple-double, and JQ's team still in first place, Ohio Players, with a 77-40 record in our fantasy basketball season. Yeah. Even though I hate the Blazers right now,
such a country,
I need Dame Lillard
black man,
and
Midwest name to name your team Ohio
at least show up and lose, though.
Come on, man. You know how I do, guys. Every single last one of my favorite teams I ever owned, the name is the Ohio Players.
Oh, I've done it, too, because I'm a country Midwest black person, too, so.
Oh, man.
I just like to wear it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, here we go. But these college boys and these free throws have been very disappointing. And I don't get
that. Alabama should be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Alabama should be ashamed. Yeah. It was like 11 for 26 or something crazy. That was terrible.
they don't believe in doing free throws. You know, it's not a free throw.
Alabama blew that game. I only have one thing.
But anytime the Gumps lose, anytime
the
Gumps lose is a great thing for me.
Yeah,
in any sport. Sure.
It's wilding with the whole, the Lakers are going to win because they got Andre Drummond. It only matters if LeBron and AD come back healthy. That's the only thing that matters. He's a nice piece for him, but.
He's better than Dwight Howard, though, I would say, though, right? JQ?
Yeah. At this stage of his career,
you're kind of reflecting that piece that you had, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Kind of give you a little bit off that.
I think here's what I would say. From an interior defense standpoint, the Lakers are going to be, if Anthony Davis was healthy, when you talk about AD, Montrell, and Drummond, it's going to be tough to out-rebound them. It's going to be tough to score in the paint against that team. You know, they're going to be tough. I mean, front line-wise, they're going to be really, really tough to have a rotation. Like, when you look at LeBron, AD, Drummond, Montrell, and Kuzma coming off the bench. So, from a front line perspective, the Lakers will be tough to beat if they all are healthy. But what you're getting from their guards is going to be the question.
If they all are healthy.
Retired.
What about the foul, though? He just hit him upside the head. He tied the game up?
No, it's 51:49.5 seconds left.
Okay, yeah, I'm on internet. I'm a little behind. I was like, damn.
God, please don't let this game go into overtime. Don't make us watch this low-scoring Dick Bennett basketball grit and grind. No.
Not Dick Bennett. Dodge come on.
Hey, Dodge is not a
college, man. It's not pro ball.
So that sounds like everybody's coming to UCLA to be in another final.
Yeah, it's all good.
You went to the archives to Dick Bennett, though. You are
That's funny. I'd like to keep y'all on, but I guess we can go ahead and just sign off if you will, too. I don't know if you want to watch the last part of the game, man. So, again, yeah, guys, have a great rest of your
yeah.
I'm sure we'll be texting each other. But, yeah, fellas, Naj, appreciate you calling in as always, man. Great talk. Perfect mind topics, Rob. You don't have to go too crazy about the topics, too, man. So just keep it kind of like that. Good job as always, man, because we never get a chance to get to all of them as always because there's just too many, man. So anyway, gentlemen, have a great rest of your day. Great time seeing you, man. I'm sure we'll be connecting over the week as always. Be safe, Curtis. Keep the fight up, bro, as always. And we got you, man, as always. Let's keep this party going. Be good. See you guys. Same
happy
time,
Easter.
Same time next week. Yep. Happy Easter as well. Be safe.
Peace.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.
I got to turn off the curtain.